Persistence. Persistence is the real key to success these days. Persistence is the real key to success these days. And people don't want to hear that. You hear me? People don't want to hear that. People want to hear that there's going to be somebody that's going to take them over the hill, or that their work, and it will be your work. No matter if it's somebody or if it's yourself, it will be your work. It will be what you put into it. But the day of someone going to make me a star is over. You hear me? The day of somebody wanting to make me a star is over. Let me tell you all of the streams that I'm on right now, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank everybody. Drop bombs for everybody that's in here. Drop bombs for everybody that's in here. Shout outs to my Instagram people. Shout outs to numerous Facebook pages. Shout outs to my LinkedIn. Shout outs to Twitter. Shout out to Twitch. Shout out to YouTube. Shout outs to Apple. I'm on Apple Podcast Live. I'm on Amazon Live. I'm on all these platforms live right now. No matter where you go, God damn it, you're going to hear JP Justice. That's another thing I'm going to start doing too. I'm going to start talking about myself in third person. I'm going to start talking about myself in third person. You got to take a moment to share. You got to take a moment to share. I was saying that if you call these agencies, I remember back in the days I used to go downtown and I used to buy this magazine called The Ross Report and this paper called Backstage. And I used to go home and look through these pages and look for work. As an artist in Hollywood, that's how you look for work. You can still do it today. Don't think that what I'm doing, what I'm saying is obsolete. It's just not common these days because now you can do everything online and on your phone. So I used to go downtown and buy these papers and these magazines, and I would look through the magazine, and the magazine would tell you who was producing what TV show was going on, what movie was going on, and you would sit there and you would write these addresses down, and you would take your hard copy of a 8x10, and you would put it in with your resume, and you would send it off to this agency and hope that the agency will see your picture and go, hey, that's the face that I want. Do me a favor, write this person, call this person's answering machine or call this person's cell number that had it on his hip, or call his telephone and tell this person to come into my office, and then me, your agent, will make you a star. Those days are dead. You hear me? Those days are dead. And I'm not going to say dead and stinking in the water. What I am going to say is that those days are definitely the majority of it. 95% of it is gone. If you have a look that's so intriguing and so exotic and so by yourself, then you'll be sorted out. But other than that, now these agencies are looking for you to bring them a moving train. Do you understand what I mean by a moving train? They want you to already have your career in gear, and then they'll jump on it. How about that? They want you to do the hard work, and then they'll jump on it. Now, depending on what agency you have, they'll take you to new levels, and they'll definitely take you to higher planes. But for the most part, they want you to do all the hard work. And what's the hard work? The hard work is alerting the people that you're here. The hard work is saying, hey, America, hey, the United States, hey, the planet, hey, New York, Chicago, hey, wherever you call home, whatever platform you want, it's about you telling them that you're here through your art. That's what you want to get known for, your art. If you're a comic, you want to put comedy reels up. You want to put your comedy skits up. You want to go online and podcast and be humorous on your podcast. You want to be seen on the internet, because when you get your social media numbers up, then those agencies will look at you. these TV shows, and it's not even a lot of TV shows these days, because even TV production, has dropped to an all-time low. TV production. And with the opening of so many HD channels, everybody is looking for content, which has dropped the market for the art. You see, when it was only four channels, 2, 4, 7, maybe 5, and 11, you know, whichever one was hot, or 9, remember 9 had good programming. When those channels was just here, everybody begged to get on those channels. So anything on that channel had worth. If you was on CBS, if you was on NBC, if you was on ABC, oh my God. You were like a god walking around here. You hear me? And finding work was no problem. Why? Because you was on a nationally broadcasted channel and people wanted you everywhere. Anywhere you went, you was in high demand. Then all of a sudden, those alternative channels started opening. Channel 5, Fox, UPN, WB. And then certain cable networks started opening up, HBO. And you know what happened? It was still a great year for you, but it wasn't as good as it was when it was just the top four or the top three. Now you're cutting the pie 6, 7, 8 ways. Then what happened? Cable opened up. And now networks started popping up. Things went digital. And when things went digital, now it allowed access, more access to footprints, and footprints is what they call where what broadcasts, and more stations used to open. Now more stations are opening up. Turner Music Broadcast, MGM, Fox HD, Cartoon Network, Food Network, the all these different networks are opening up, which now they need programming too. And now they start bringing in programming. What happens then? Everybody wants to have a, what up, artist up? I would love to have you on the show. Then what happens is that everybody wants to have programming. And now everybody is in search for the new, whatever, the new hot person for the network. The day is still good for the artist. Don't get it wrong. The day is still good for the artist. I'm happy to see you on a Sunday as well. The day is still good for an artist. An artist can still make great money, but not as good as it was when it was just the three networks, the three gods, the three dons of television, NBC, ABC, and CBS. The pie now has to get cut a little bit thinner, because there's more people reaching for the piece of this pie. And then what happened then? The HD channels opens up. Oh my God. Hundreds of channels open up. And as well as that, as well as the HD channels opening up, then we had streaming services coming in. But we're gonna leave streaming services out for a second. Because remember, there was streaming services back in the day. And streaming services aren't new. Shout outs to all the streaming services that's out here now. Drop bomb for all these streaming services that's out here now. But streaming services was not new. No way. So, you know, now everybody, and then the internet comes in. Let's not even talk about how YouTube cuts into a piece of the pie of American television. If you look it up, more people watch YouTube than certain channels. That's really a vague statement. And listen, if you want to join in some of the I don't read Instagram. If you want to get in, you got to get in over there. Come in over here and join in. I'm just here to let people know that I'm over here on this other stuff. So what I'm trying to say to you is this. So with all of that now, it has watered down the art form. What up? Drop bombs for my man Ike Buzz. Yeah, it's on Facebook. The only reason why I'm answering you is because I know who you are. That's the only reason why I'm answering you. Ike Buzz in the building. So now all of this is open, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to what we have now. We have hundreds of channels. Wait. Let's start at the top. We still have the three Dons, CBS, NBC, ABC. We still have those three. We still have Fox. We still have UPN. We still have WB, which is now combined and is now the CW, right? We still have all those channels. We still have all the regular old cable channels. Remember HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, blah, blah, blah. We still have those channels. And now those channels have HD channels. What's going on? What's going on, Nicole Watson? I see you over here. Drop bombs for my girl, Nicole Watson. These people, all these channels are still here. And now each one of these channels have HBO 1, HBO 2, HBO 3, HBO in Spanish, HBO comedy, HBO this, blah, 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 Cinemax this, blah, blah, blah. Same thing for each one of these. Stars is now in it. Encore is now in it. Food Network, as well as the Beverage Channel and the Hunting Channel and blah, 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 blah. I remember back in the days when you could be a star off of community college channels. I remember when you could be a star off of, what was that community television? What was that called? What was that called? Community television. What was it called, ladies and gentlemen? Not community television. Remember the shit that Wayne's World was based on? It was based on, I forgot what kind of, like, it was a college channel. Basically, the college had, what's the names, and you would be on there. Public access, that's what I'm talking about. Public access, right. So now public access ain't even popular no more. Now social media has gotten into it. YouTube has taken a large chunk of this pie. You hear me? Has taken a very large chunk of this pie. If you go and you believe me, you can believe me if you want to. You don't have to believe me if you don't want to. Go to Google and put it in. Say how much YouTube is being watched as compared to television. And if YouTube isn't above television, it's damn sure neck and neck. It is damn sure neck and neck. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. So what does that mean for the art? What does that mean for you as the artist? Well, you do have choices now. Now you have choices. You have so many choices now that you don't even know where to go. And people and artists these days, when I say artists, I mean both comics, actors, singers, everything. Even singers, but I didn't really jump into singers. Where do you go these days? Well, a lot of these artists take blind shots and hope that anybody picks them up. First off, let's already talk about this. The market has dropped. When you was on ABC, when it was just the top three, you probably get $5,000 a show. I'm just throwing a number out, $5,000 a show. Well, now there's so many channels and so many networks, you probably get about $2,000 a show. And I'm just throwing numbers out, showing the comparison of how the numbers drop because the market opens up. A lot more people need you now. There's a lot more choices. Now, if you're a hot artist, you still have value. But if you're just an artist trying to come up and trying to get in the game, if you're just an artist trying to come up and get in the game, you're going to have to be an actor and still work at IHOP on the weekends. And it has been done. How many of these goddamn actors you see got little side jobs and stuff like that? Because the bottom has dropped out. The value has dropped out. A lot more choices. But the value has dropped out. So my question to you is, where is the goal these days? Where is the goal? Where is it that, what is it that we're shooting for? What is it? Because success now is, what's that word? Subjective. Well, success has always been subjective, but it's really subjective now. It's really what it is you want to do now. Well, what is it you want to do now? And that's where success is. Now, this is the part where you're going to have to really rely on your art and love your art for your art to gain value, and then boom. Or you can just go out there and sell yourself for the highest bidder. You know what I'm saying? You can't just go out there and sell yourself for the highest bidder and work like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Please don't let nobody tell you that, you know, oh, you just out here just trying to find work, blah, blah, blah. You goddamn right. You don't know what that person's life is like. He got kids to feed. He got a home to take care of. He got to take care of his sick mama. And if he going to find work on TBS as an infomercial guy at 12 midnight, go get that goddamn work, boy. Go get that goddamn work. But what I'm asking you these days is, where is the goal? Where is the goal? We don't even want to talk about what COVID done to the industry. COVID hit the reset button so damn hard. COVID hit the reset button so goddamn hard. It's not even funny. It's not even funny how when you thought you had value, COVID just set that shit right back. Remember, there's a quote in the Bible that says something about those in the front shall be in the back and those in the back shall be in the front. COVID did that shit. You thought you was on top of the world. Even in comedy these days, even in comedy, people aren't getting paid what they used to. I remember right before COVID, I remember hearing people saying things like, yo, I'm making $1,500 a weekend. I'm making $2,000 a weekend. COVID dropped, boom. Guess what? Niggas is making $750, maybe $600 a weekend. Maybe $600-$700 a weekend, $1,000 a weekend, maybe. And those are the good guys. I just heard numbers this weekend of comics that I know that was making thousands of dollars, now making hundreds, or maybe just touching $1,000. That's what COVID did. Hit the reset button. Boom. And while y'all all sitting here talking about internet, blah, blah, blah. Oh, internet comics and internet this. And you're not real artists and blah, blah, blah. Them boys is getting it. They have learned this algorithm and they are getting it. So my question to you once again is, where or what is the goal? What is the goal? You know, when I talk to comics, comics all have that same cliche conversation with me. I've been doing comedy for 32 years now. And every generation, I hear the same thing being repeated. Almost as if it's in a book. I'm an old person, ladies and gentlemen. I gotta get one of these for my back. I can't just sit in a chair no more. Helps me to sit up. When I talk to young comics these days, young comics give me the same lines that these veterans was, and I was one of them, was preaching 20, 30 years ago. Shout out to my man, Mr. DC Benny. We rocked at this great club this weekend, Yonkers Comedy Club. Please check it out, ladies and gentlemen. It's a young comedy club coming up, Yonkers Comedy Club. We'll even talk about Caroline's if you want to. I have no problems with talking to Caroline's. I also reached out to LOL. Shout outs to Roy over there at LOL. Comedy clubs have changed. Look at all the comedy clubs that have closed. Look at all the comedy clubs that have closed. Great institutions like Dangerfields. Great institutions like Caroline's. You know what I'm saying? All these clubs have closed. Closed. No longer around. Caroline's was there for like 30 years. Dangerfields was there since 1969. 1969. It's 54 years. Gone. Gone. Where or what is the goal, y'all? What is the goal? Did you know as a comic, Did you know as a comic, you're preparing yourself to be one of the hottest writers ever? Did you know that? You should be preparing yourself to be one of the most dynamic writers ever. Comics make the best writers because we tap into our imaginations every time we create. Every time we create a joke, we tap into our imagination. Even if the joke is based out of reality, you still have to string it through something that you put through your imagination. So comics become the best writers. We write the best TV shows. We write the best opening acts. What's that thing called? In the beginning, when the monologues. We write the best off-Broadway plays and Broadway plays. Why? Because we're already tapped in. Why do you think so many people in other art forms try to come in and get what we got in comedy? Because we're basically trained in everything. Yeah, if comedy was a martial arts, we're trained in everything. How about that? So my question again is, what's the goal? What's the goal? Not everybody is going to be the greatest stand-up. There's only room on that stage, but for some people. And I know people are going to be like, you can't say that, man. Everybody's going to get a little piece, blah, 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 blah. That's that cliche shit that y'all fill your brains with so that this way you can keep going. And I'm not telling you not to fill yourself with it. Whatever you need to carry on, carry on. But the true and honest truth is that some of y'all, the majority of y'all, most of y'all, watch how this gets. 90% of y'all are not going to hit stardom. Doesn't mean you're not going to have success. Listen to what I'm saying to you. You're not going to reach stardom. But it does not mean you're not going to reach success. You're going to be worldly fucking successful, but you're not going to be a star. Damn, I got to say that again because I know somebody going to fuck that up. And I know somebody going to go out there and they're going to be like, JP's a bad one. He's so negative. Listen to what I'm saying to you. A lot of you, 90% of you, will not be stars. You will be successful, but you will not be a star. And don't give me that being a star is subjective. It depends on what you talk about. Blah, blah, blah. Motherfucker, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. You got in this shit for movies, TV, fame, magazines, flashing lights, red carpet. You got into it for that. And 90% of you will not get there. But you will be very successful. There will be someone in here right now that's listening to this podcast that will write the funniest goddamn sitcom, the funniest goddamn show, the funniest goddamn movie. Somebody in here, somebody listening to this will do that. They'll never have stardom, but they'll have great success. And that's what I want you guys to start focusing on. What's your strong points? What is your strong points? Some of you guys have a great face for radio. That's an old joke. Let me say it again. Some of you guys have great faces for radio. Some of you guys' health isn't in good shape. A lot of you guys aren't marketable. You don't take care of yourself. There was a comic who came over to me, a 10-year new jack. And the only reason why I'm saying new jack is so you can understand what level he was respected as an artist. He's been doing comedy for over 10 years, but he doesn't get booked. He doesn't get this. He doesn't do this. He doesn't get this. And he's not respected as one of the either longtime veterans in the game or blah, blah, blah. He's just, you know, I don't want to say his name. He's just that person. You know why? He's not marketable. Every time I see him, his clothes is dirty. His hair isn't cut. You know, he has fingernails. I don't have fingernails. He has fingernails that's dirty. nothing is marketable about them. So nobody takes them seriously. And that's a very important part of this business. That's a very important part of this business. Some of your most favorite comics that you follow out there that's fucking hilarious just ain't marketable. Where are you going to put this person? Let me tell you about myself, and I'm keeping it very 100. I'm not saying that I can't, ladies and gentlemen, but I've been in this game long enough to know the reality. I am 6'8". I go to Hollywood quite often. The only people my size are basketball players, and I'm taller than a lot of them. There is no place for me in Hollywood because I am much taller than your tallest superstar that you've seen on television. Much taller to the point where it's awkward for the camera. I even heard an agency tell somebody, bring me someone short. That was discouraging. My age doesn't really mean much, because there's always work for anybody at any age. So I'm not even worried about the age. But the window ain't open like it was when I was in my 20s. Is that not safe to say? Is that safe to say? I just want to know if it's safe to say, because I know you guys get real emotional when I bring in facts like that. When I was in my 20s, let me see. That guy in the background right there, that Def Jam comic back there. Oh, the world was yours. The world was yours. What's mine's mine? Whose world is this? The world's yours. The world's yours. He had the world. But now at 53, the options aren't the same or aren't as many as when I was in my 20s. I am not saying that I don't have options. I got to keep reiterating this because you're going to hear what you want to hear on this. So I got to keep reiterating this. I know how people are. You're going to hear what you want to hear. But if you listen to this again, you'll understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the door is closed. No, the door is not closed. The door is not closed. But it's closing. The door ain't as wide open as it was when I was in my 20s. And that's realistic. So once again, I ask, what's the goal? What's the goal? I wish I could find a guy that says, I want to be the best writer. Oh, I'll put him on my fucking team immediately. You want to be a good writer? Come on, let's go. I don't want to do TV stuff like that. I just want to write. What? Are you serious? Let's go. Put that dude in my camp immediately. Put that dude in my camp immediately. You hear me? He just wants to be a writer. What do you want to do? I just want to produce, shows and TV shows or off-Broadway plays or whatever. What? Put that dude in your camp immediately. You hear me? Now you're building your camp. Now you got a chessboard going on here. You got a goddamn chessboard happening. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? What's the goal, people? What's the goal? Where are we going? Where are we going? How are you getting there? What's your plan for 2 years from now? What's your plan for 1 year from now? What's your plan for 6 months from now? A lot of you guys don't even have headshots. Oh my God, when I do a flyer and I ask you guys for headshots, I cry and I cringe. I cringe at what you guys call a headshot. You know what else we need to do too? We need to bring back artist development. We need to bring back A&Rs and artist development teams and teach you guys how to be artists. Shout outs, drop bombs, my man Method Man. After 25 plus years in the business, to me, he's got that weight like Sidney Poitier, Harry Belafonte. He's got that weight like Sammy Davis Jr. He's got that weight. He's got that heavy weight on him. You hear me? He he's solidifying himself as a fucking entertainer, as not just a rapper, not just a hip-hop artist, not just an actor. I'm talking about in Hollywood. You hear me? Shout-outs to Snoop Doggy Dogg. He's doing it. Shout-outs to Mary J. Blige. She's doing it. I'm talking about putting it down to the point where they're undeniable in the arts. Bring back A&R. What up, Tiance? Bring back A&R. Teach artists how to be artists. You hear me? Teach artists how to be artists. I'm keeping it real, yo. I'm keeping it gully, yo. I'm keeping it real. Oh, you're a fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot. Let me tell you who was... What up, Moet? Let me tell you who was the last person to keep it real. And I'm going to tell you how their career played out. 50 Cent. If you ask me, 50 Cent was the last guy who kept it real in the industry. And he kept it so real that he had to be taught, and he is such a student of the game. Drop bombs for my man 50 Cent. Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. Drop bombs for him. He is such a student of the game. If you ever listen to him in his interviews, the drop bombs for him again. God damn. If you ever listen to 50 Cent in his interviews, when you get a chance, listen to him in his interviews. The man listens. The man's work ethic is incredible. You hear me? The man's work ethic is incredible. You hear me? God damn, I love when I see this guy working, because I know this wasn't a today plan. This was well thought out. Well thought out. I just saw a movie with him and Sylvester Stallone. I didn't even know he did a movie with Sylvester Stallone. But he had to learn how to be an artist. Not learn how to be a hip-hop artist. He knew that. He got that down pat. But he had to learn how to be an artist. He had to learn how to maneuver in Hollywood. God damn it. And did he do it? Did he do it? You tell me. Did 50 Cent do it? This man got movies and TV shows dropping out his pocket. Dropping out his pocket. You hear me? I'm talking about what's the goal in comedy? What's the goal in today's art form, Finn? But I'm not really paying attention. You know how I do. I don't really pay attention to this right here. This is just here to let people know that I'm over here. Go check me out at facebook.com/JPJusticeLaughs. I'm really answering the people over here. I'm having conversation with these people. But being that I know you, drop bombs, my man, Finn. I acknowledge you. If you want to join in the reindeer games, come on over, ladies and gentlemen, to facebook.com/JPJusticeLaughs. Come in and join, or even give me a call at 718-407-0893. Once again, the number is 718-407-0893. You got a question, man? Let's see if I can answer it. Let me try to get somebody on the line and try to ask some of these important questions. When I call people cold, they be kind of tight. When I call people cold, they be tight. Yo, man. Yo, you can't just put me on the show. Shut up. I call my peoples to find out. Today's question is, what's the goal? What's the goal in comedy, bro? What is the goal in comedy? Let me ask my boy Nick Alexander. Let me ask my
Please
boy.
Leave your message for
Damn. People just ain't around, huh? People just ain't around. I'm trying to find somebody that I can talk to, ladies and gentlemen. My man, Mr. Ty Barnett, he has great. What up, Mo? That's what I'm talking about.
If you have a killer to screen their calls, please say your name and the purpose of your call, and I'll try to connect you.
J.P. Justice.
Sorry, I didn't get that. Please say your name and purpose of your call.
J.P. Justice.
Thanks.
I don't know how it made me get serious over here, right? What up, Finn? Came on the Facebook side. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to accumulate conversation and find out what the goal is. Like, what's the goal these days in entertainment? I see us running around.
Hi, thanks for...
I see us running around just doing room after room, city after city. You know what I'm saying? But my question is, what's the goal? Where's everybody going? What up, Sean? Shout out to all the brothers that came out to check me out. Feel free to call in. If you want to come on, let me know. I'll send you the link because you guys are great guys. I'm just here to have conversation. Yo, it's like nobody answers their call. That's why I don't even use my what's name no more. Let's see if Howie Bell is around. You having a cigar and watching the game. That's what's up. You've been doing that for 2 days in a row now.
It's me.
Howie Bell, before we even started.
What's your good brother?
I can't call it. First off, you're on live on my show, Instigated
Man,
Talk.
Man, you sound low, man. I can't hear you.
So I just want to let you know that right now.
All right.
Instigated
Talk, what's happening, brother?
Before you say something sexy like, and I got my silk drawers on. What the fuck? Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by comedy extraordinaire Mr. Howie Bell. What up, Howie?
Hey, man, all is well. Sitting here watching Cincinnati and Buffalo like everybody else in the country.
Yeah, yeah, my girl.
Enjoying life, man. I had a great weekend.
That's what I'm...
You know what, Jameek, man, it's funny you call me, man. And nobody calls you Jameek anymore. But you're J.P. Justice. I don't know who you are. Who are you? But I had a great weekend here in Detroit, man.
Okay.
And I want to point this out, that... Ryan Davis,
mm-hmm.
And everybody knows Ryan Davis.
Yes.
Shuler King.
Okay. I think I've seen a picture with you guys this weekend.
And Brandon T. Jackson.
My guy.
All performed at three different venues in Detroit this weekend.
And what was the turnout?
And all weekend. And I'm going to tell you, man, that was probably one of the best comedy weekends in Detroit in a long time.
My dude, first off, let me say this. This isn't the question, but I'm glad you brought this up because this is one of the things that I've been talking about lately. The comedy culture outside of the tri-state area here in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, is so live and thriving and popping. It is not funny, bro.
Yes.
Like, outside of New York City and outside the five borough, outside the tri-state area here, y'all guys are in love with comedy, the art that y'all come out
yes.
for every and any performance. You hear me?
Yep, they do, man.
And
they really do.
And I appreciate really that about when I leave out of the... When I go to Virginia and South Carolina and North Carolina, and when I travel and I see the hundreds of people that was looking yep. forward to this comedy show that got dressed and came out, it's incredible.
Man, when I tell you all three of these guys, had sellout shows
Come
every
on.
Night. I was impressed at
Come
Detroit.
On. Come on, man.
I was just impressed at the city.
Yes.
Because I was like, wow, y'all all came out to everybody's show?
That's incredible.
Like, that was impressive to me, man. But it told me a little more than that. It told me that people are thriving and thirsty and dying for laughter and happiness.
Come on, bro.
Because we have such a bad time in the world.
Come on, man.
That people want to, they're flocking to comedy shows.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's
they love comedy and they need it, man. It's like medicine.
Yes, and this is the flip side to the question that I'm asking you then. So here we go. Here's the question for today. What's the goal for today's artists? Oh, this is a great question for you, too. You know why this is a great question? Because because we came up in a time when the goal was to get on Def Jam, BET, this show.
Yep.
But now it's so much. What's the goal these days?
You know what the goal is now? I think it depends on you as an individual. Mm-hmm. Are you in it to just make money? Are you in it to make people laugh? Are you in it to... you know, just be some sort of therapy for you. What are you in it for?
Mm-hmm.
Is really the real question. Because mm-hmm. because I mean that's what I mean. What else is it?
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree. So you know Rashawn.
Yeah,
Reese,
what else is it?
You know Rashawn Reese, right? You know Rashawn Reese out in Jersey.
Huh?
You know Rashawn Reese, right?
Yeah, of course. I'm my brother. Yeah.
So me and Rashawn was talking, and Rashawn said something that I thought was so dope. He said, yo, Jay, these young comics these days think that stand-up is the only way they can go, and that the only thing they can do is stand-up comedy. And I said to him, because I had my thoughts, I said, what do you mean by that? He said, they don't believe that they can be writers, that they can be producers. They don't.
Yeah.
Today's comics think that they're just supposed to go to the stage and tell jokes. And this is what Rashawn said. Not everybody's going to be the greatest comic. Somebody's going to be the writer of the television show.
That's right.
Somebody's going to be the producer of the television show. And that made me thinking. That got me to thinking.
So let me tell you something, brother. So here's the thing. He's basically pressing the reset button.
Who's, what do you mean?
Rashawn Reese. He's pressing the reset button. People need to know that you get into this business not just for to be Kevin Hart or be Cat Williams
it's exactly what
Dave
he was saying.
Chappelle,
that's exactly what he was saying.
You get into this to figure out where you are as a person, whether it be, and I'll go back to that, whether it be for self-therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people get into comedy for themselves. Like, I just need this to make me feel better as a person.
I met a dude this week who said he's doing comedy just so he can get out of the house with his wife.
I promise you, man. Stand-up comedy is a unique form of entertainment. It's not a cookie-cutter thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I see people that just started, and I see veterans, of course, like ourselves. And, you know, and it's really hard for the veterans because we've been in it so long
mm-hmm.
that we got to figure out our way. But I'm going to tell you something. The love and the passion for it keeps you going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Rashawn is not lying when he says, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you in it for? Okay. It's all up to the individual, man.
So me and
it doesn't matter what they're doing it for, actually. If you really want me to take all the meat off the bone, it really don't matter.
So
who cares?
Me and Rodney Perry had this same conversation, and I said, this is what I said, and I'm going to tell you what Rodney said. I said, Rodney, I can't get with the hobbyist comic. The guy who's in this just for a hobby, I can't click with that person.
But let me tell you something, though. But who cares, though?
And that's what Rodney said. Rodney said, why not?
Who cares?
He said the hobbyist comic is winning. He's winning.
Yeah.
He ain't in this for no big television. He's in it to breathe, to get out, to go have a drink.
Yeah.
He's winning already. So why wouldn't you follow that? He's winning. And it has me now saying.
And why do we care what they're doing it for? Who cares?
Well,
because at the end of the day, let me finish. Because at the end of the day, we as comedians and the veterans all know who created the foundation for all of these people, man. We should actually be smiling like proud uncles and daddies
mm-hmm.
and aunties and uncles and, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, literally, because we created this. We've been in the game. I started in 1995. So I know that for a fact, the things that I've done in this business have been an influence, a direct influence on some of the younger generation. Mm-hmm. Not all, but some of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of that. That makes me happy. That's bigger than money.
Legacy.
I don't care about the money, man.
The legacy. The legacy.
I make money. I make money doing this. I do comedy all the time.
Yeah.
I literally make money with my mouth. Literally. Literally. If I couldn't speak anymore, I don't know what I would do. But yeah. I make money speaking with my mouth. I've been able to do that since 1995.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy about that. But if I'm even more happier about the platform that you and I and a lot of us vets have put together for a lot of the younger cats to do what they're doing.
To thrive what they're doing.
We created the lane. So I'm not even, I'm proud.
Mm.
No matter what happens from here to tomorrow.
So let me get back to this question. And trust me, I agree. You know, sometimes I marvel at the opportunities that these guys have that I know I broke open. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm like one of the first. I don't know about outside of New York because like New York outside of New York, but here in the New York scene, I was like one of the first Def Jam comics that was doing mainstream rooms. When they wasn't letting in Def Comedy Jam comics, because that's what they called us. Oh, it was Def Comedy Jam comics. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I kept my mouth shut that I did it, and I was doing them. And by the time they found out that I was a Def Jam comic, they already realized that I could rock their rooms as well. You know what I'm saying? So I marvel sometimes at some of that, at stuff like that. But here's the thing. Do you think that, and let's go back to this hobbyist comic. Shout outs to Elijah. Let's go back to this hobbyist comic who's just getting out because he wants to get away from his wife. What if he runs across that $1 million joke? That joke that can be a killer. But he thinks of it as a hobby and it's nothing to him. Don't you think he could have sold that joke if he would have understood that he can be a writer?
Well, it's kind of a two-part question. But if I had $1 million joke, basically what you're asking me,
mm-hmm.
if I had $1 million joke and somebody took it from me, that's what you're saying?
No, not took it. If he only knew that he can become a writer and that he can sell that joke. This is what I mean. This is what I mean by sometimes.
You don't know those type of things. Like, let me tell you something. There's no way to foreshadow that.
That what?
That I may have created $1 million joke.
Howie, we've been around. You've never heard a motherfucker tell a joke and you go, ooh, that's a killer one right there.
I've heard a million jokes that sound incredible and I'm like, this worth a lot of money. But you can't foreshadow the way that it's going to transition from the stage into a tangible monetary situation.
Have you ever heard a person's joke and you go, ooh, I wish I'd have wrote that motherfucking joke. Right there. Have you ever heard a person tell a joke and you go, ooh, I wish I'd have wrote that motherfucker.
A million times.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is what hurts me sometimes with the hobbyist comics. That they don't understand that like there are people in here running this race for real. And don't get it twisted. After hearing Rodney's point of view and hearing that you basically agree with him, I definitely understand what you're saying. The relief of it all is all understandable that he has found comfort in his expression of our comedy form. But I'm in this for the gusto. And when I say gusto, I don't mean money. I'm talking about just for the win of it all. The win meaning
for the actual comedy culture.
Right. So when I hear somebody who's not in this for real.
Yeah,
and they come across a gold mine.
I know what you're saying. It's a violation almost.
And that's how I feel sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I had to get over that because I used to feel like that. And I told to myself, man, listen, come in, listen. Them new guys, they want to come into the culture. They want to come in this comedy culture. You're going to die. You'll die a slow or quick death. Motherfucker, this shit ain't for the weak. I've seen the best manicured, well-mannered, professional person try to come into this, and it's like double dutch when you don't know how to double dutch, and you just get tripped up by the goddamn ropes. Mm-hmm. It just is what it is. This is not for everybody.
Shout out to DJ Seven. So
I tell people, I welcome them. Come on, you want to do comedy? Yeah, go ahead.
And see people trip up and break themselves. Yo, and that's
my God. You don't have to do nothing to them.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. We don't have to do anything to the people that are coming in, or new people, or when people are to try it, or, you know, we don't have to critique them that heavy. Because the game is going to, you know, weed them out anyway.
Hold on.
It is what it is.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Hey, Ty.
Yo, what up, bro?
What's going on? I'm on live on Instigated Talk. I got Howie Bell. Can I add you in this conversation?
Yeah. What are y'all talking about?
We talking about what's the goal in comedy these days? Hey, Howie, you still here?
I'm still here, my brother.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we joined by the good brother, Mr. Ty Barnett. Ty Barnett, drop bombs for my man, Ty Barnett.
Yo, what up, Howie? How you feeling, bro?
I'm good, man. How you doing, good brother?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. Trying to live in these crazy streets, man.
Okay.
Man, you out here, brother. Ty Barnett. We just talking about longevity. You've been around since the 60s.
Hilarious.
In fact,
the gray hair kind of add to that story.
Man, I seen Ty Barnett. I saw Ty Barnett and All in the Family. You hear me?
Hey, man. Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, man. It is good that we talking about longevity, because it's these three cats on this phone that have been around for a while. I mean, I told you, we've been around since JP had that multicolored jacket on Def Jam. So
that was a straight up Benson, baby. That was the $1,000 Benson back then.
Hilarious.
So listen.
I'm never even call you Jamique no more. I still call
him
Jamique.
I had to look at the phone. Oh yeah, Jimmy, that's right. Yeah, that's JP.
So here we go. Here's today's question, man. Howie already dove in, but let me bring it up to you. Let's see how you feel about it. Today's question is, what's the goal these days in stand-up comedy?
Oh man, you know what? It depends. Because if you're talking, that's a two-lane road there. Because if you're talking about stand-up to get to where, like, you see what's happening for Leslie Jones, that's different than it would be in the sense of somebody that is just making a living, telling jokes and feeding their family and sending their kids to college, because it's both. It's people doing both. It's cats that are, you know, they successful and they making enough money doing corporate gigs or college gigs or whatever, something that's not as high profile, but they taken care of, their family taken care of. But then you got another role where people like is in front of the camera. So I think it really depends on the person, because I always say, like, sometimes new comedians would ask me this, like, so, well, what is it? What should I do? And I say, well, first of all, you should try and figure out what it is you want to do.
Come on.
Not what somebody else is doing or what you think you should be doing, what it is you want to do. Mm-hmm. And from there, that helps you define a little bit more what longevity is and what success is. And then, because, I mean, I don't know if y'all ever thought this, but to be honest with you, before I told my first joke, I never even envisioned that I would be able to feed myself and my family off of telling jokes. And I've been doing it now for almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Same thing here, man. Yep. Same thing here. And that goes a little bit, and I don't mean to cut you off.
No problem.
Goes a little bit to what I was saying earlier. It really, like, what do you get out of this? That's kind of, that question is so open-ended, because what do you mean? Some people get into comedy strictly for self-therapy. I'm going to repeat that.
Yeah,
I've said that two or three times. I know certain people, like, I just do comedy. They're in their 50s and 60 years old. Like, I'm going to start doing stand-up comedy just because it makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Yep, that's true.
So everybody's not into it for an end goal of being a superstar or making you know, millions of dollars or doing all this stuff to be a Cat Williams or a Kevin Hart or Dave Chappelle. Everybody's right. not in it for that, man. Stand-up comedy is a unique situation in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place where people can be themselves. I'm telling you, man, it's deeper than all that, like, what's the end goal? What do you get out of this?
You know,
some people get out of this what you don't even realize.
Come on now.
What you think that they're doing this for some kind of end goal that you got, but they do this for themselves.
And that's what I think is when people, and those are the happiest people, by the way. Those are the happiest people in the business.
That's the happiest people in the world.
Yeah.
Because they're like, nah, man.
How long have you been doing comedy? 2 years. How old are you? I'm 62. God damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just love to get up here and talk.
You know,
to them, they like, it's either I'm going to tell these jokes or I'm going to be a greeter at Walmart.
I promise you. And the beauty about stand-up is we welcome everyone
that. Yeah, we do.
We welcome that because stand-up comedy is the last frontier of free speech, bro.
Yes.
We are the last frontier.
Wow.
They're chopping us down, too. But we are the last ones, man, where people can really get up, go to an open mic, or go to
themselves.
Get up on stage and speak their mind.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And you never know who it affects. Because sometimes you get excited about some of the weirdest things in this. I had a lady tell me one time. She sent a message, and she said, "I just want you to know, you helped me get through cancer or something." It was something major. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like,
"Yeah,"
but she had to make sure she qualified. It's like, "Nah, I ain't saying you did the surgery or nothing. I'm just saying that watching." She said, "I'm just saying watching your stand up helped me in my recovery because it took my mind off everything." And to this day, it's still one of the best compliments I've ever gotten in this business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that sometimes, like you said, how that was perfectly stated, that could be the end goal. Like what you do and what you do it for is really relative. Because like I said, some people get into it and their level of success is determined by material stuff. Whereas other people are like, I make a living telling jokes. This is what I love to do. I love going and making people laugh.
So listen to this.
Here's the one thing, and I don't want to.
I don't want to hijack
this, but I tell somebody, it's just like, so I've been doing this coming like 27 years. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So that long.
I said the 50s, probably the 60s.
Listen, Ty Barnett, I'm going to say it again. Ty Barnett.
I am pretty sure I lived in a past life and I was telling jokes somewhere in a past life.
I'm telling you.
I'm sure about that. I got the leather coats to prove it.
Your name was around when I was a young guy. So,
oh, wow. Jesus. I appreciate that.
Yeah, listen, Ty Barnett but had
that's a testament to you, though.
Ty Barnett had a reoccurring.
That's perfect to go into what I was going to say is that I never thought that this would be it. To be honest with you, I really didn't. I was like, well, maybe I'll go try it a couple times and see how it go. And the only thing, and y'all both will know this, the grind feels like a grind sometimes. Dealing with bookers and shitty people, that gets on your nerves. Being on the plane all the time gets on your nerves. Having to fight for your money with people, having to tell these people that you deserve the money that you're getting in the first place. All of that stuff ebbs and flows. The only thing that has remained a constant is that feeling that I get when they say coming to the stage.
Oh, come
that's
on, bro.
The only thing that remains the constant.
Hey fellas,
and
let me tell you
something. Every single time.
Let me tell
Even
you.
Even if I'm dead tired before I get on stage, as soon as they say, okay, you guys, I'm like, okay.
Yo, let me tell you
it's
something.
It's like a
brother.
Shot of
let's
adrenaline,
see,
bro.
Let's see if we all been here. Let's see if we all been.
It's an instant shot, ain't it?
Yo, let's see if we've all been here. Fellas, have we all been
that
outside of
the
country?
Things, man, and we all get the test of that. I guarantee you, man, that coming to the stage, your boy, it just makes you feel like everything was worth it.
Let's see if we all been here.
Said, people don't see you traveling. They don't see you getting on the flights. They don't see you even having to catch the bus.
Yeah.
They don't see you having to drive to another city. They don't see you have to catch a flight, get to a city, rent a car, and drive another hour or two. Like, they don't see that type of – they don't see that.
Yeah.
And sometimes, man, like, you know, like, we're exhausted. Just piggybacking off what you said, we're exhausted, and we got to get up there and make these people laugh, man, regardless of the
way.
Hey,
fellas, have we all been here?
And I'm going to tell you something. That's the happy and the sad part and the comedy and the tragedy part about us as stand-up comedians, because nobody checks on us.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Yo, have we all been here, fellas? Have we all been out of the country where they don't speak your language and the only place that's familiar is the comedy club, and you can't wait for that hour when you know you're about to
go on
because that's the only sense of familiarity you have at that time in your life?
Exactly. But that's why that's what I say, when it says a fraternity, it really is that.
Yeah.
Because there are certain stories I could tell you guys and y'all would get that civilians won't get.
Yeah.
There's a certain rush. There's a certain kind of, and like you said, there's the good and bad of it is that, like, they want us to make them laugh, but they also expect that our lives are perfect. And a lot of our lives are far from perfect.
you know
what I'm saying? So the only time we have is that hour that we do on stage, an hour and a half or whatever, where we're like, everybody, we're all pretending like everything is cool right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, all of us. I'm going to tell y'all some stuff, and then as soon as I'm done, then I'm going to go back to, you know what I'm doing. And there are times where I'm serious, like, dude, I'm telling you, it's like a switch that goes off. And like my wife has mentioned it a number of times that, like, I didn't even really notice it until like she pointed it out. She said, you know, you're a totally different person when you get on stage versus when you get off stage. Mm-hmm. I was like, what are you talking about? She says, you're like, as soon as you're up there talking about this and that, as soon as you say goodnight, like, you scurry off and you just want to get as far away from people as you can.
Yes, sir.
And I say, yeah,
you know why you're doing that? Because you've been doing this so long because I'm going through the same thing too. And it's no knock on our audiences. It's no knock on the people that are coming to see us and enjoy. But I'm going to be honest, man. I swear to you, I'm one of those people that show up early at the show. So I'm there watching the crowd come in. I like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a comedian that, just call me when it's time for me to go up. I don't do that.
Right.
So by the time I go up, I've seen the audience come in.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the feature, the host, the features, the guest spot, and now I'm headlining. Man, when I get done,
I want to go home.
I'm ready to go, man.
Yeah.
I want to go home.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
like, I'll sit back and have a drink at the bar and I'll talk to a couple people. But after that, man, I'm really ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. And
I'm a human being too.
Exactly.
I'm a human being like y'all. I just got off work.
That's the part.
What they need. That's the part. That's the part that I say, like, I think once it's different. Like I mean, we did a show in up in Tacoma not too long ago, and so it was, you know, cats that I started with.
Shout out to Nate Jackson.
Yeah. Great club, actually. Great club, by the way. So it was cats that I started with, and so we finished the show and everything, and it's like five or six of us just standing in the lobby. And so we all kind of look at each other like, so what do y'all want to do now? And we all looked around the room, thought for a second, and all of us started laughing because we was like, man, 10, 15 years ago, we'd have been like, what club are we going to?
And so
now all of us is like, okay, whatever we do, it can't be too late. Exactly. So we all ended up at Denny's. We all ended up at Denny's.
Hilarious.
Eating pancakes. And it was like, okay, man, all right, you guys, take it easy. We out.
Yeah,
and because we real regular people, but this is what I always have to make sure I say this to people, because this is one thing I always want comedians to understand, whether you're doing it for, you know, you just want to get out the house, or whether you're super paid or whatever. The thing that I wish more stand-ups would do is realize the power and gift that they have. A lot of people don't look at this as a gift. That's what's weird to me.
You know what I've been telling you,
I always like to compare it to, so you say, well, let's be honest, like all three of us are smart enough to we read. We can go I can read a book. So if they say, well, okay, I want to learn how to be a doctor. Okay, I can read. I can go learn how to be a doctor. I can learn how to be a lawyer. I can learn how to do all this. You can't learn how to be funny like that. You can't learn it like that. You can't be like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're either funny or you're not. Now you can learn you can learn cadence. You can learn set up punchline. You can learn joke structure, of course.
You can learn the techniques.
But you can't learn how to naturally be funny. Mm-hmm. So my whole point is that when I see comedians not embracing that gift as a gift, it hurts my heart because I'm like, bro, you understand?
You know
what I tell motherfuckers on this planet
can't
do.
You know what I tell comics to do now? This is what I tell comics to do. And fellas, I say this to you guys too. And I tell it to you guys too, especially us right now, because we've been inundated with so much of the pressure of coming up in the game. This is what I tell my comics, my veterans and comics coming up. Smell the roses. Take the time to stop.
I like that.
And
smell the roses.
The roses for us is different for the roses for the young comics. The young comics, it gives them inspiration. But for us, it gives us a sense of peace. It gives us a sense of of woosah. You can woosah in that bed of roses. And you can just turn off what the industry has pressured you with. So I tell my veterans all the time, you know what I've been telling people? I've been telling people, go to the gym. Not go to the gym because I want to see you bulk up. But just go to the gym because this is our art form is one of the only art forms that we don't exert energy. Like we're just on stage telling jokes. So that energy builds up. We tell the jokes and then the energy dissipates. Well, go to the gym and get yourself exhausted. Just in the gym, whatever machine you're doing, just exhaust yourself because what it does is it eases your mind. Eases your mind. You know, no one fills our wells. Do you understand? Did y'all guys realize that? No one fills our wells. We're constantly out there thinking, putting this together, But what fills your well?
Yep.
What plemishes you? And that's the part that comics be forgetting.
Yeah.
And it be that pressure.
And I think it says, this is what I mean by like, you can't let the soul suckers, the shitty bookers, the asshole people in the industry, you can't let them do that. Because a lot of them will try to take that energy. And what I had to realize is, if you can't do what I do, the way I do it, I can't even really give you my energy like that. Mm-hmm. I just can't, because that's disrespecting me. That's disrespecting everybody that came before me that has been able to do this. You see what I'm saying? And this is not on some cocky shit. This is about saying,
no,
I put effort into what I do. This is, and I see the reaction that I get from people when I do what I do. If you can't do what I do, there's a reason why you're a booker and I'm the performer. There's a reason for that. And that for you to say, well, okay, I'm going to respect your business acumen because you have a space to do this in. But if you don't want to look at my talent, my gift, with the same level of respect that you want me to look at your business with, then I got to withdraw myself from dealing with people like you.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I can't let you take
that.
And the bottom line is, bro, they don't care.
They don't care.
Yeah.
Because there's too many of us.
There's too many of us. See, we are in it for the art part.
Exactly.
They're in it for the money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Strictly, like, we want money too. But they are strictly for the money.
Yeah.
Like, that is nothing, it doesn't matter, man. You as an independent performer or artist, that does not matter, man. Mm-hmm. And we got to separate ourselves from that. You cannot do what you just said. We can't do that.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to do. It's hard.
Yeah.
We got to separate ourselves from the promoters and the producers, the agents, and because they are all in it for the money.
Right.
We are in it for the art. Most people that perform are in it for the art.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, fellas, man, listen, I don't want to cut this, but y'all definitely answered the question, and people are in here asking all kind of questions. Somebody asked, what do we think about Will Smith wanting to do stand-up with Dave Chappelle? That was an old video, first off. That was a very old video.
No. I'm going to just leave it at this, and I got to bounce, but I just have to say this, not even just to the Will Smiths, but I have to say this to people that this is the only thing, bro. This is what's weird to me about stand-up. It's one of the hardest things to be really good at. It's one of the hardest things to be really good at. But everybody and their mama think that they can do this.
Come on now.
That's what's weird to me.
Come on now.
This is it's bananas, bro. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me. I swear to God, his was crazy. If I walked on a movie set and I went to Will Smith and said, hey, man, I want to be your co-star. And Will Smith's like, who are you? Oh, man, I just seen a lot of your movies. I do push-ups, so I'm in decent shape. So just put me in your next movie. You know what I'm saying? He would look at me like, hey, man, get the fuck off his head. You, what are you doing here? Stand up. It's weird that we have this mentality with people because everybody tries it. Now, it's not. I'm not saying that
you're speaking golden. You're speaking golden right now.
I'm not saying that you don't have we don't have the exclusive rights to stage. We don't. But why would you think that? Hey, you know what? I want to get on the same stage as Chappelle. You're not ready for the same stage as Chappelle.
You're not ready for that.
Do you understand his audience? Do you understand the size of that venue? But for people to think, Chappelle, hey, man.
They're not even ready for open mic.
Thank you.
Come on now.
And
come on now.
That's my problem with it because there's a reason why people take acting lessons. There's a reason why people take singing lessons. You know what I'm saying? Because they have to get good at it. Again, I cannot. Hey, man, I watch a lot of detective shows. I don't know shit about detecting. I don't know shit about it.
You ain't going out there trying to
crack a case,
right? You ain't out there trying to crack a case.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
like I walk. I've been watching For My Man.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
I've been like, oh, anything that
happens. Hilarious.
I think I can do it, but I can't do it.
Thank you. And that's all I'm saying is like, you put your work in. People have to want to do that, man, because even if you're choosing to say, okay, well, yeah, you could try this, go try it, but you have to respect it enough to try it. You have to respect it enough to try it. And I honestly don't think that a lot of people do, because think about this, and y'all both know this, there's a ton of people that they do stand up as a go-between something else. I'm going to tell y'all a story, and I don't mind saying the dude's name because I'm pretty sure at this point he's had to admit that this was him. I was at a club in L.A., West Hollywood. Old boy, Brandon T. Jackson was there. And
He was just at my house last night and the night before. We just had Ryan Davis, Shula King, and Brandon T. Jackson was just at my house over the last 2 days.
Okay, so then maybe he I don't know if he'll remember this story, but he did this at that club, so he wasn't having a great set, and it was evident that he wasn't having a great set, and he ended up saying on stage, he says, "Oh well, I don't need this shit anyway. I got movies coming out." And I remember exactly. I'm in the back of the room, like, God damn, bro, you couldn't even just get off with a funny line. But fast forward to when the movies ain't happening. Look at where what he's trying to get back into now and put some effort into. Mm-hmm. Stand up.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? You gotta respect this, bro. You have to respect it. It is an art form. It is not just some shit, motherfuckers. If anybody could do it, bro, really anybody would be. And I ain't talking about just people who they go to their mic and they sit. I'm talking about people who make a living at it. I'm talking about people who fill out paperwork to do this.
Yeah.
I'm talking about those people.
Yeah.
That takes a skill set, bro. And when I see people disrespect it and they just say, oh yeah, I'm a stand up now. I do stand up too. Okay. Well, where do you perform at? Here and there, that should never be answered.
Him here this weekend in Detroit. I'm in Detroit right now. He was here this weekend at the Punchline. Ryan Davis was here this weekend at Mark Ridley's. And Shula King was here this weekend at the Detroit House of Comedy. Mm-hmm. All three of those guys were performing in Detroit this weekend. They all came on my house 2 nights in a row.
Wow.
Cooking everything. They had a great, great time. But getting to your point, Brandon literally, bro, is literally trying to get his stand-up chops back. He's trying to do his thing. And that was the wrong – what he said that night, that was definitely the wrong thing. You don't say that to him. First of all, don't talk to your audience like they're –
nobody.
Hey, listen to what this person said. This person said,
like, because they're there for you anyway, for whoever. They're there for comedy.
Right, and that's
hey, listen exactly. to what the, listen to Moet says. I was at a live show where Mike Epps told us he ran out of jokes halfway through his performance. The rest of the show, he spent talking about the people in the crowd. I will never pay to see him again. Well, here's what
okay,
I say.
Okay, see that?
Here's what
that's
I say
a memory
about Mike.
That's going to stick with that person.
Yeah, here's what
that memory sticks with that person because
forever.
And because you see how, like, on one end, we have to respect it. But people, this is what we have to do as performers. Yes, I want people to respect what we do. This is why I say people that say, I'm going to take up a stand-up spot, even though I don't need to take up a stand-up spot, even though I make $25 million per picture. I'm going to just, I ain't talking about them cats. That's something different. But we as the performers need to understand what goes into the average citizen's night. People don't look at having to find a babysitter, having to, you know, like, even if you just look at it from, look at just from the dude's standpoint, and you're taking your lady out, you still got to find a babysitter. You got to shower, put on clothes, gas, you got to food, all this stuff before you even get to the club. Before you even get to the club,
you
spent this money.
At the club, you got to do two drink minimum.
Exactly.
And you got to pay to get in. So these people are looking for some type of entertainment.
An event.
They're
looking for an event.
They don't care about your personal feelings at all.
At all.
I did all this shit. As a matter of fact, I actually prepped for this about a month ago. So a month ago, I planned to go to this comedy show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, that's so, exactly, dude.
Maybe and 2 months.
That's all. So I think when you because people want a reason, and we, and, you know, especially with black folks, we need a good reason to be separated from our money. We need a good reason. You got to give me a really good reason to be separated from my money. So you telling me, because no one complains about having a good time. No one complains about that. Everyone remembers having a good time. But people will complain over and over again about having a shitty time. And so when people don't, and the problem with that is it's a ripple effect that affects every comedian from that point. Because if they were going to pay that kind of money to see him, what if the next person that comes in that didn't run out of jokes and is going to, but that person is like Joe Schmo. And they're like, I ain't never heard of Joe Schmo. Why the fuck am I going to pay to see Joe Schmo? You know what I'm saying? So it's a ripple effect that people don't understand. Like comics, it has to be reciprocal. It has to be like, I'm going to give you my energy. I'm going to do my job. Like you said, how they don't care how you feel. Because that time I'm on stage, I need to make you guys forget how shitty things are for you, just like I need to make sure that you guys want to enjoy yourself. It's reciprocal. As long as that happens that way, I think, because like I told you, I mean, there's some times where people, you know, we go to clubs and we do it because it's just what we do. But we also know that we don't go to comedy clubs if we don't have to go. We don't.
At all.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to think about the person that is taking their time to go. And I think as long as people respect it, I think it'll be fine. To be honest with you, and I'll leave y'all with this, man. I just wish we had more protections for comedians as far as like unions and shit. Because like you said, Howie, is like we give a lot of ourselves. We literally give our lives to this, you know. You know what I'm saying? We give our lives to this. Exactly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And there's no unions.
Hey, fellas, listen.
Yep. There's no unions, no nothing, man. And, you know, no pensions. And I feel bad about that part.
We've been talking about building unions since I've been in the game, too. Like, I mean,
that would never happen. That would never happen.
Doing a comedy kind of union and
that would never
doing some kind of thing. So maybe that'll be on the horizon.
I mean, you know how that, you know how,
I hope so.
You know how that will take effect, Howie? Let me tell you how that takes effect.
I feel bad for a lot of these cats that have been around for so long, and then at the end of the day,
fellas, let me tell you how something like that will take effect, and then I got to get out of here too. Let me tell you how something like that will take effect. That will take effect with us setting the roots for, because we've walked the entire walk now. We've walked the beginning to the end, and we see that the end is scary. So if we decided right now to set that trend so that the rest of the comics, because they can't foresee the end the way we have already walked it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if we set that up, that could definitely happen. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, first off, brothers, y'all gave us an earful. I just sat back and let y'all run through the comments is going through the roof. I want to thank you guys for coming through, man, and blessing my blessing.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Hey, I'm gonna holler at you.
Y'all
guys,
be cool. Right? Y'all be safe out there, man.
All right, definitely. Peace, ladies and gentlemen. That was my man Howie Bell and my man Ty Barnett. Two great friends. Drop bombs for both of them. Drop bombs for both of them. Thank you guys for coming in, giving an earful. And I want to thank all you guys that's been tuning in, all you guys that's been coming in over on Instagram, and those of y'all who shifted over here. There's so many people on Twitch, too. Shout out to my Twitch people. I didn't think Twitch was going to be like that. Shout out to Twitch. I had a great time, y'all. Please do me a favor. Tell a friend, tell a friend. You don't really have to share this, because when it's 2 hours like this, I don't really want the 2 hour show to be going out like that. But it is live, so it will be up on all of your podcasting availability platforms. Whatever platform you go to listen to your podcast, this will be up there. Your boy JP Justice, I had a great time. Let me turn this off over here. Bang.